Welcome to Torah Timach Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Chaf Beis, the 22nd Perek. This is the beginning of round number 3, where the friends attempt once again, for a third time, to answer Iyov's burning question of Tzadik Varailo, why is he suffering when he does not deserve it? And the Perek opens with the answer of the first friend. As with every round, this friend is Eliphaz. And remember, we noted both times when we spoke about Eliphaz up until now that Eliphaz really stands on a higher standing than any of the other friends. He has a level of maybe prophecy, which the others don't merit. He has a level of understanding, and he has a level of seniority, and that's why he comes first here. And also, let's remember that this is going to be the last time we hear Eliphaz speak. From here on out, everybody's kind of finishing up their speeches. Let's take a look at what he says. Vaya'an Eliphaz hatemani v'yomar, and Eliphaz turns around and he says as follows. Hala'el yiskan gaver. Yiskan here means to benefit. So it means, does God benefit from man? Ki yiskon alemo maskil. And there's two ways of reading the second part. The one is, obviously not. The person who benefits is Adam himself. Right? The maskil, the person who comes to a greater understanding, the human being is the one who benefits. And we've had this discussion with the friends in Iyov before, where they're saying, you can't do anything for God. You can't benefit God. So stop trying to believe that your actions have some sort of impact on him. The Malbim, however, reads this differently. He understands the beginning phrase of the pasuk, hala el yiskan gaver, the same way, which is that can man benefit God? And then the second part, ki, doesn't mean, here it means when. When, yiskon alemo maskil, when the person is benefiting themselves. And really, according to the Malbim, the chidush here of Eliphaz in this third round is that God doesn't want people to do things for themselves when they can derive immediate benefit from it. Because then they're not serving Hashem for Hashem's sake. They're serving Hashem because they want to. As we know in Pirkei Avos, we're told not to be avadim hamishamshim es harav al menas lekabel pras, who serve the Rav, who serve our master Hashem, al menas lekabel pras, in order to get a reward. We're not doing this for the reward. And so, according to Eliphaz, according to the Malbim, if we were to experience reward in this world and punishment in this world, whether it's tzaddikim or rishayim, if we were to experience immediate response to our actions, then we would only be serving Hashem because of that immediate response and not because we want to have an authentic relationship with Hashem. And so here, Eliphaz is explaining to Iyov the reason why there's tzaddik v'ra'lo in the world is because the world needs to work in such a way that it doesn't make sense so that we can still have A, free choice, and B, choose to do things for the right reasons. Perek Gimel can also be read these two ways, where it says, "Hachafetz l'shakai ki titzdak." Does Hashem want you to be righteous? Does Hashem care if a person's righteous or not? "V'imbetza ki tatam derachecha." And is there any benefit if a person perfects their ways? Which, as we said, the classical explanation is, it's just kefel lashon, saying the same thing twice. God doesn't benefit from anything. But the Malbim's way of reading it is, does Hashem want you to be righteous imbetza? If you're achieving some sort of material gratification for titam derachecha, for making your way perfect, when you are benefiting yourself in a worldly way through your actions, God does not want that kind of relationship with Hashem, with us. And pasuk hey onwards, the next couple pasukim is going to be the first time in the sefer where Eliphaz overtly turns to Iyov and says, "I'm going to list your sins." And up until now, there's been so much hinting to Iyov sinning and so much, you know, undertones that seem to say, Iyov, you really are a sinner. Here he's going to go straight out and say it. Pasuk hey, halo ra'ascha rabba, your sins are great, ve'en keitz la'avonasecha. You're in deep trouble, Iyov. You are not a good guy. And I'll tell you what a bad guy you are. I'm going to give you a list of all the horrible things that you've done. Pasuk vav, ki tachbol. You took securities from your friends, your poverty stricken friends, and they got nothing out of it. Ubigde aromim tafshit, and you stripped people naked of their clothing. Lo mayim ayef tashke, you didn't give water to the tired. Umera'ev timna lachem, and those who are starving, you did not feed them. Now, this is one of the great famous criticisms of Iyov, and we have to remember that at the beginning of the Sefer, Iyov is called an Ishtam Yirei Elokim Sarmei Ra. He's an incredibly righteous person. How could it be that he's done all of these horrible things? And maybe we can say, like Rav Soloveitchik explains, that even though he did do good things for the poor, it was the bare bone minimum. It was lip service. It wasn't something which was in deeply emotionally responsible response. He did things because he felt like he should. It kind of the standard, basically. But he didn't invest himself in those people who were in need. Pasuk Ches can be read in multiple ways. Let's take a look. The pasuk reads Ve'ish Zroa, a man with an outstretched arm, or a man who is wealthy or successful or powerful. Lo Ha'aretz, the land is his. V'naso Panim Yeshevba, and those who lift up their face. Perhaps it's a definition of like an honorable person, an important person. Yeshevba will dwell in the land. Rashi reads this as a question. You think that just because you're important, you should own the land? You are a mean person. You didn't feed people. You didn't take care of people. But because you're important, you think you deserve everything? You don't. Whereas others read it as much more of a statement, right? Which is, you assume that your wealth makes you deserving of land, but it doesn't. Okay? And the second piece of that pasuk, v'nasu panim yeshevba, those people who are nose panim, could mean, again, a kefal lashon, a double language of like, these are important people, or according to the Malbim, it's other people looking up to you. You know, people looked up to you. You were important. You were powerful. And people really thought that your opinion mattered and your world mattered. And so, pasuk tes, almanot shalachta reikam, you sent away widows empty-handed. And again, maybe you gave them coins, as this Rav Soloveitchik says, the cold coins that you gave them, but you didn't take care of them. Uzras yitomim yeduka, and you crushed and you destroyed their children, the orphans. You are heartless, and you gave heartlessly. And not only is your Ben Adam Lachavera terrible, Iyov, but also your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also terrible. Pasuk Yud describes, Al Kain, therefore, Sevivasecha Pachim, all around you are traps. And maybe this is your punishment. You're surrounded by your punishment, your horrible things that are going to befall you. V'yivhelcha pachad pitom, and sudden fear is going to grab you, which is what landed up happening to him. Pasuk Yud Aleph, it's a very interesting pasuk. We can either read it as, according to the Mitzudas David, it sounds like it's talking about part of the punishment. If Yud is talking about punishment, Yud Aleph continues and it says, O choshech lo tireh, you will not see because of darkness. U shif'at mayim techaseka, and when there's water covering you, you're incapable of seeing. What are you incapable of seeing? The traps. The traps are all around you, but because God's going to surround you by darkness, you will not see that you're about to stumble and fall into those traps. The way, however, that the Malbim reads this is that this is a mindset which allows you to deny the hashkacha of Hashem. Everything is set up the way that Hashem wants it to be. But choshech lo tireh, you choose to see the world as dark and God being distant. And it's as if there's water that's totally surrounding you, that's bogging you down, that you're like not in touch with reality. You can't hear, you can't see or relate to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Pasuk Yud Beis, you say, Halo Eloka Gavoa Shamayim, God is up there in heaven. Ura'e Rosh Kochavim Ki Ramo, he's up there in the head of the stars. He's very far away. Va'amarta, and you said, Maya Da'el, what does God know? Hava'ad arafel yishpot, is he going to come down and get busy with the realities of everything going on down here? He doesn't care. He's in his dark cloud up there, far away. Avim seterlo velo yireh. Clouds are covering God. God can't see. And here again, this darkness imagery. On the one hand, we're seeing Iyov is shrouding himself in darkness to hide God from him. And yet at the same time, he's convinced that God is surrounded by darkness and it's God who is hidden, not he who is hiding from God. V'chog shamayim yitalech. God is up there in heaven. He's far away. He doesn't care. He doesn't know. In other words, here we're seeing, once again, He's saying, Eov, this worldview that there's no hashkacha, there's no divine providence, this is not something new that you only thought of after you started suffering. This was how you viewed God before. You thought God was far away. That's why you treated people badly. You didn't really connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really why you're going to achieve the suffering, which makes sense because Eliphaz believes that Eov is suffering because he sinned. Pasuk Tes Vav, for a couple Pasukim now, it's going to talk about the Dor HaMabul. And we'll ask ourselves why it's mentioning the generation of the flood, of Noah's flood, right here in the middle of Eov, but we'll do that in a second. Let's read the Psukim first. Ha'orach olam tishmor, do you think God is going to preserve the way of the world? Asher darko mete'aven, that sinners are walking on. God's not going to preserve the world if it's a mess. If everything is happening, it shouldn't be happening. The next pasuk, asher kumtu v'lo'et, they are shriveled up and destroyed before their time, the sinners of the generation of the Mabul. Nahar yutz'ak yasodam, this wash of water threw over their foundations. These people were people who were wicked, and Hashem didn't just let them go. Hashem destroyed them, Eov. Don't you think he would do the same for someone like you? Ha'omrim, and look how he describes the generation of the Dor HaMabul, because this really is exactly the same criticism he's giving Eov. He's comparing Eov to the wicked people who were destroyed by a flood in the generation of Noach, as if to say, once again, you deserve much worse. You're lucky you got away with what you got away with. Ha'omrim, because those people said, La'el, to God, Sur mi menu, go away from us, God. Uma yif'al shakai lamo, well, what's God got to do with us? Go away, Hashem. We don't really want much to do with you. And what did Hashem do? Pasuk yud ches, v'hu mile batehem tov. Hashem gave them good in their homes, just like you, Eov. You denied God's involvement in your life. You wanted him to be far away from you. And yet Hashem still continued to give you good just like that. And here he kind of like has this moment, which we remember from last parak, where Eov himself had a moment where he kind of just stops his monologue and he says, I don't understand how wicked people could possibly live in such a bizarre reality. And it's, again, ironic, funny, I don't even know what word to use, that Eov and Eliphaz both say the same thing, which is that I'm so righteous, I don't understand how wicked people even begin to work. And he says, however, Yiru tzadikim v'yismachu, the righteous people will see and they will rejoice. And the Midrashim explain this is reference to Noach and his sons. V'naki yil aglamo, and those who are pure will mock and will ridicule the wicked people. The righteous people will get even in the end, and they will succeed. And this is exactly what's happening to you. Pasuk Chaf Aleph is where Eliphaz changes his tone. He turns to Eov, and instead of, again, saying, you sinned, you did bad, what are you doing, and how are we reading the Malbim in this perek, is Eliphaz is also adding, and yes, the world doesn't make sense, but in the long run, there is logic, and you need to realize that you're a sinner. Here he says, instead of realize you're a sinner, this is kind of the first moment of empathy we see from him, where he says, Hasken na'imo, get used to being around God. Accustom yourself to being part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ushlam, and make peace with Hashem. Bahem tfu'atcha tova, and then things will start working out for you. Make peace with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, it's enough being angry and being mad at Hashem. Love Hashem. Kachna mipiv Torah. Put Hashem's Torah into your life. Sim amarav bilvavecha, and put his words into your heart. Im tashuv ad shakai, because if you return to Hashem, tibane, you will be able to rebuild. Tarchik avla me'ohalecha, distance sin from your tent. Avla could also mean the things that you stole. Take the stuff you stole, take the bad stuff out of your tent, turn to Hashem, and reunite with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem wants you to do the right thing, Eov. Just do the right thing. Just do teshuva. Pasuk chavhei, v'haya shakai b'tzarecha. And if you do that, Hashem will become your strength. The kesef to'afotlach. To'af is from the word la'uf, to fly above. The Ramban reads this as, you will acquire even greater wealth. And whereas the Malbim, in typical Malbim reading, says, no, ta'uf, from the word fly, you will achieve wealth, kesef, that belongs in the higher worlds, in the worlds of up high. Not this grounded money. This grounded money is worthless. You're going to leave it behind when you die. But you will get real wealth. in the higher world that you can't see right now. You're going to get that if you turn to Hashem. Ki az el shakai tit anag, because then you will learn to enjoy Hashem, not reward, not children, not good health. You will enjoy Hashem, and that's enough tanug for you that you have Hashem in your life. V'tis'a el elokai panecha, and you will turn to Hashem, and you will be close to Him. Ta'atir alav, you will daven to Hashem. V'yishma echa, and He will listen, He will hear you. V'nidarecha tishalem, and He will pay you back your promises. If you manage to build an authentic relationship with God, and this is an important point, you're no longer going to just be turning to God in order to question Him and philosophize with Him. You'll turn to Him like a child turns to their Abba, because you want something, because you need Him, because you love Him. And that's the kind of relationship you want, Eov, with Hashem. Not this deeply philosophical, fraught in misery and existential crisis relationship. This one's not a good one. Pasuk chavches, v'tigzor omer v'yakem lach. You will make decrees and they'll happen. V'al derechecha Nag'a Oren, in your path, light will come. We know there's a famous understanding that Tzadik Gozer V'Akadosh Baruch Hu Makayim. And Tzadik is a person who decrees something and Hashem makes it happen. Eov, if you do teshuva and you return to Hashem and you love Hashem, then you will be able to live in a world in which you will be the Tzadik, who the things you say will come true. Just put down your weapons, put down your anger and turn to Hashem in love and in yearning, and things will be able to repair. Our learning today was sponsored by the Nachyomi Chavruta, in loving memory of David Hanan ben Michael v'Rachel, whose short years, despite immense challenges, were filled with Torah, family, and joy. His life left an indelible mark on our community and beyond. May the schus of our learning give his neshama an aliyah, and may his legacy continue to inspire.